Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea.
Have a point.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is Drew.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen. And not a one of you is prepared for it.
And they're sometimes joined by guests like...
This is Dr. Wonders.
I had to stop her from screaming.
And Diane.
If you men only knew.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road. And, you know, anyway. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we have all three of us together, starting our 2016 trend toward having all of us at one time. And tonight we're going to talk about the 2006 movie Idiocracy, directed by Mike Judge.
Yeah, we are.
But first, any housekeeping? Let's go around the horn. I guess we'll go clockwise this time, starting with Brother Jay.
I don't believe I have any housekeeping this week.
Drew?
Well, I caught up on the last podcast that you uploaded, and I thought listening to Jason and Travis talk about Ghost Rider was very fun.
Sweet. Have you heard that, Jason?
No. Where did you add that to?
At the end of Heist.
Oh. Hold on one second. Okay, one of you has to leave the room. Yeah, you, Mr. Store. And your little dog, too.
I thought you were talking to me for a second.
You know, to this day, I still, you know, Kelly usually slips up and calls Journey Bella. But I usually call Journey Drew for reasons I don't know.
It's okay. Journey calls Kelly Grandma, right?
Well, Journey calls us whatever she feels like. She calls me Mommy about half the, or Mama like half the time.
What?
Yeah.
I don't have children, so I guess I don't quite...
Yeah.
Know how the dynamic works, but so no, I haven't heard the Travis and my ghost writer, the ghost writer epilogue, which was just tiny, I think.
Yeah,
I recall
it. After I cut out like 5 minutes of squabbling over the box office totals.
Well, we squabble well.
Yeah, no, it was funny, but it was like, oh, this isn't going anywhere. I'm going to cut this part out.
And you guys talked about both The Walking Dead and Daredevil, which I love.
Yeah. And I know nothing about either, really, except the Walking Dead comic book. But
oh, and I know very little about Daredevil.
It's good. Jessica Jones, have you seen that one?
No, not yet. It's on my list, but again, I have so much to do that...
I have one other piece of housekeeping. Brother Jason will be able to see this. Look what I got this week.
Threshold. What is that?
Oh, I'm pretty sure you've seen it. Threshold was a like half a season series on CBS back in the day about first contact with aliens. It had Peter Dinklage and Brent Spiner and Carla Gugino.
I don't recall ever having seen this.
Oh man, I thought we had talked about it before.
It sounds like something completely up my alley, but...
Well, no, you and I have talked about it, Drew.
Yeah, no, I think Jason and I have talked about it a long time ago, because when I first got HD in my house, and there were only a couple channels, one of the channels, Universal, would just rerun, I think, whatever content was out there that had been filmed and processed in HD. And one of them was the American version of Touching Evil. I know you've seen that one, right?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite television shows.
Yeah, with Vera Farmiga. It was really good.
And Jeffrey Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah, really, it's, really dark.
It's really dark, and it was fantastic, and it was shot. It was gorgeous. It was just a beautiful, a beautifully shot environment, because it was done by the what's-his-face brothers.
Wachowski? Cohen? Menendez?
Yeah, but so the other TV show that I remember watching like that was a show called Threshold, And I thought you had seen it, but maybe I just made that up. So, Eric, how did this come into my possession?
I bought it on Amazon the day after we talked about it.
And have you watched it?
I have not.
Did you look up who the brothers were?
It doesn't say who got credit, but Bruce Willis apparently produced it.
Oh, the Willis brothers.
Well, no, but...
I was really hoping it was the Dwarf brothers.
Yes, Brad and Steven.
Yep.
Oh, see, okay, so while one of the things I wanted to address, because it occurred to me too late. Well, two things, actually, occurred to me a little bit late. One, again, just format kind of stuff. With all three of us, I think our voices are different and our points of view are different, that people will be able to figure it out. So we'll just have to announce when we're kind of taking turns. It occurs to me that I'm disenfranchising two of our best listeners, who apparently enjoy listening to the podcast that they're not on when those come out. So by having all three of us, it's like, oh, we've all heard this one. So I apologize in advance for that.
It is true. I will miss the podcast with you and Jason.
Well, I'm sure there will be episodes in which there will be a necessity for only one of us.
Hopefully only two of us, because only one of us gets hard. Well, let me tell you. Although I'm waiting for the Drew Jason episode. That's going to be fun. We should just schedule that at some point.
We can finally talk about Eric.
As I say, we'll both drive it right into the ditch.
Well, we'll find out. Maybe not. Maybe you guys will both be stars. Well, much like when people said, you know, Jason and Diane are great. They should have their own podcast.
So I apologize in advance, Eric, because you can't see this. But in the mail, coming in the mail shortly.
That looks sweet.
They're awesome.
Look, okay, you have pretty... okay, it is actually an audio podcast. So if you're going to intend this to be, if you don't want to involve me, that's fine. But you have to demonstrate something. It's theater of the mind.
No. I think this is a revenge for not having given Jason a mug that he discovered during the Fight Club podcast.
Yes.
I was just showing Brother Drew the lovely crafted mugs that I got, and they will be in the mail to Alaska shortly. I have a giant box of them that are going to be joining me and the impending 25-year high school reunion that's happening on the coast in a couple weeks. So I'm be giving them to all of my high school pals, but I got a couple extras, and so of course family gets one. Although my mug has a flaw in it, so I don't know if I should go opening the rest of them to see if any of the rest of the mugs are flawed. But
flawed like the picture flawed?
No, the handle has this strange swirled marble clear coat pattern fail, which brings me back to the days of my Grand Am. So if you can see the flaw in the...
Yeah, it gives it character.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I'm interested in opening the rest of the boxes because they're wrapped in this clamshell styrofoam pack to protect them, and they're taped sealed, so it's a lot of labor. So, at any rate, there's that. But spent the weekend watching a lot of movies and got snowed in, basically. City got shut down Sunday. And they canceled work yesterday, so I didn't go to work yesterday either.
Wow. How much snow did you get?
Well, it wasn't the snow that we got Saturday. We got about 3 inches. It's that immediately following the snow, we started having freezing rain on top of the snow.
we had that here. That was a doozy.
So, yeah, the city pretty much shuts down. So when the buses start going sideways down the streets, they tend to shut down. So, watched Alfred Hitchcock. I have the Alfred Hitchcock 15 disc collection. So, on Blu-ray. So I was watching Rear Window and The Man Who Knew Too Much.
I have seen neither of those.
Rear Window I've seen, but I haven't seen it recently, and I wonder if it holds up.
Well, I thought it was pretty good.
That's Raymond Burr, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's back when he was before he was in a wheelchair.
You know that wasn't real.
Well, but after he was in Godzilla. Okay, so okay. I guess our Raymond Burr fan club newsletter hasn't arrived yet to all the brothers.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I know Raymond Burr basically from Perry Mason.
I just didn't want to. I didn't want to cut into our the content for our Raymond Burr cast.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't think of a funny thing, a title for the Burr cast, but if I could, that would be a great time to put it in right now.
I was going to make some comment about Della, but I couldn't work that in.
Yeah, or Hamilton Burger. So anyway, one thing. Let's see. Well, okay, I guess I can wait until the Wild at Heart episode comes out. Well, my goal is to try to get this episode out right away, and then I'll have the others in, because there's like five other episodes that are good for backup and just extra material. So I think we'll be fine for quite a while. And hopefully this whole one day a week thing will make my life a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think it's going to make editing a little more complicated for you.
I don't think so.
And I will give a shout out to Jerry, who I was talking to Jerry after Debbie's memorial. And she said, "You have a podcast?" And I said, "Well, I mention it on the Facebook all the time, so I guess it just missed your notice." So she's a big fan, and now she wants to know all about how to do it. So I was like, "Well, I know very little about how to do it. I just kind of show up."
You're just talent.
Yeah, I'm just a guy behind a mic. So
you mean Jerry wants to do her own podcast?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
So I may send her your way.
Yeah, that's fine. You can send her my way. I can at least tell her the six different ways that didn't work before we found a way that did work.
So, because I know nothing about your software, your editing, your process, you know, I just know how to work on my end, and so that may be on, you know, on your horizon. But Brother Drew, are you using the Audio Hijack software?
Yes, I am.
Are you? Do you enjoy the software? Does it seem to be working well for you?
Yeah, no, it's nice and easy. I love it.
Excellent.
Is that your child, Drew?
You can hear that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we can hear
it's great.
Yes.
Excellent. I'm glad it's not just me for background noise. Although today, so far, knock on wood.
Jose, no barking dog yet.
Not yet. It'll come. So.
I hear footsteps running. It's awesome.
That's okay.
I'm really impressed you can hear that.
No,
this microphone's awesome.
Yeah.
I know. I have the same mic, and it picks up everything.
You guys have almost the exact same setup.
Yeah.
And mine is completely different, but that's okay. Yeah. You know.
Drew doesn't have a little cozy over the tip of his microphone, but otherwise, he and I have the same mic, and I think the same pop filter.
Yeah, the cozy. I like to go bareback.
We had a whole conversation at work today about...
I have a black one if you'd like to feel more ethnic, so...
We had a conversation at work about one of the school resource officers was doing a presentation on, like, safe sex. And she was a little shocked when the kids... Because she's talking about condom use, and the kids are like, "We don't use condoms." She's like, "Well, you're going to get pregnant." I'm like, "No, we do it all in the butt." Yeah.
Well, that's very industrious.
It is. I thought, first of all, that doesn't insure against pregnancy completely. And second of all, I didn't know you went to a Catholic school to give a presentation.
It doesn't prevent pregnancy.
Well, there could be leakage and stuff.
I will confess that in my job, where I have to order condoms because as a health department, we give free condoms away to anybody who asks for them, that... When I order condoms, one of the things that comes up in my ordering options is if I would like a condom demonstrator, which comes in white or African American.
That seems quite racist.
But what about the Asians?
Yeah, or the Latinos.
I don't know. I can only tell you what is available for me to order.
What about the Canadians?
And the goddamn Dutch.
Well, being that I'm an Oregonian health department, I don't think we worry much about the Dutch and the Canadian.
No, you got to be worried about the fucking Coloradoans who come and decide to do their terrorist thing on your soil.
Can we just talk about how ridiculous that is?
Oh, can by the way, did you hear what Black Twitter called them?
Well, Y'all Qaeda, yes. and what was the other one? Vanilla ISIS. The building that they're occupying is probably the size of the shed in the parents' backyard, and it's like a gift shop. So
no, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Also, they're ridiculous. Also, they're domestic terrorists, and they should be removed. So
I don't even think they're terrorists as much as they're just jackasses.
They're definitely jackasses, but also it's Oregon. Also, they said that this was all a conspiracy from all the Portland potheads.
That's like they could get organized.
I was going to say, a conspiracy of potheads, that's not going to result in very much.
Hey, you would be surprised. Once it became legal here, they became very motivated and they will defend themselves fervently. So, Idiocracy.
Well, any more housekeeping?
I have some stuff that we can talk about at the end.
Okay. Yeah, so Idiocracy. 2006, directed by Mike Judge of Office Space, Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill. And if I can just boldly start out, I remember this movie being a brilliant idea, but being so, like, cringe-inducing sophomore humor that it just didn't really resonate with me. But watching it again, I think I had remembered unfairly the sophomore humor. And I thought just the idea itself carried itself so well that, you know, 9 years later, it's still super resonant.
It's nearly documentary at this point.
It sure feels like it.
I did not like this movie.
Oh, yeah?
I did not enjoy watching it again. I had similar thoughts to you about my memory of it, and I still really like the opening part.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down. How did this happen? Evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
And some of the ideas I like, but I would have been really happy if this had been like a 30-minute episode of something. I got so tired and bored during the middle part of it. And I didn't really care about the resolution. Some of the concepts I thought were really funny. The world building I thought was actually pretty good. But I just thought it dragged on. And some of the toilet humor just got old. It was like, I get it. You don't have to keep ramming it home with giant dildo cars.
Well, and I think... Like, it hadn't occurred to me till you just said it here, but I think it actually would have been better as a recurring SNL skit if you just visited the land of Idiocracy 3 minutes at a time or 5 minutes at a time over the course of, like, six little mini episodes in a season. That would be hilarious.
Well, that may be... I mean, I'd love that idea, but I don't know that you have anybody on Saturday Night Live these days who could pull that off.
Well, I don't know.
They could bring Maya Rudolph back. She was awesome.
Yeah. She was awesome.
Maya Rudolph is just great. She's been recently, a big topic on Not in a Creepy Way recently, and I'm just a big fan.
She keeps coming up.
Yeah. Luke Wilson, I thought, was much better in this than other things I have seen him in.
I would agree with that.
I didn't mind any of the performances, really. I mean, I thought Dax Shepard was good for what they asked him to do, and... Terry Crews was hilarious.
Terry Crews is just fantastic. He is hilarious. But even, like, I was excited to see Sarah Rue. Do you remember Less Than Perfect?
I never saw it. I know who Sarah Rue is, but I don't think I've ever seen her in anything.
Oh, she was... I first saw her in Less Than Perfect. That was with Andrea Parker and Patrick Warburton and Andy Dick.
Nope.
It was just great. But she played like fish out of water, kind of like fat girl in a really like thin world, and sort of country girl in a really sophisticated world. I think she was like a TV presenter kind of thing. But then, of course, she lost a bunch of weight. So you haven't really seen her very much since. Just kind of hilarious. Shame.
It was also fun to see the dude, Michael Bolton from Office Space.
Michael Bolton from Office Space?
Mm-hmm. He was one of the secretaries in this movie.
Well, the what was Upgrade? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Upgrade is one of the ghetto boys who did the music for Office Space.
Oh.
So.
Upgrade was probably the best reason to watch this movie with subtitles.
Why is that?
Because they spelled upgrade in that goofy way that they describe every time.
Oh, that's funny.
Upgrade, UPGRAYEDDE.
Yep.
Too funny. So, shall we get along with the plot and either reminisce about wonderful memories or just dog on the movie?
No, I don't mind this movie. I got really bored. And if I hadn't been watching it on my phone, I think I would have been tinkering with my phone while the movie was on.
Yeah, and I could see that, definitely. I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of a one-joke movie, and so they keep kind of pounding that joke. And the joke is, I'll probably just include the opening premise, which is basically this is a sort of a science fiction tale where two very average people, one by the name of Joe Bowers, played by Luke Wilson, who's an army librarian, and Rita, played by Maya Rudolph, who is a prostitute, are selected for a suspended animation experiment for 1 year because they are super average. But unfortunately, through a hilarious mishap, they end up being suspended for 500 years until they are unearthed by a garbage avalanche and learned what happened to the world in the time that they have been gone.
The Great Garbage Avalanche of 2505.
Yes. And what happened while they were gone?
The world got stupid.
Yes. Because of basically natural selection.
That's right. All the smart people were too busy doing smart things to procreate. And all the stupid people did nothing but have tons of children.
And yeah, so what you get 500 years later with no natural predators is being overrun with stupid people.
Yeah, but you also get the commentary of Brando buying the DEA and FCC so they can market any drug any way they want.
Oh, there's lots of social commentary. I mean, I think even the Fuddruckers premise, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw that they had toyed with a couple different similar things to the Fuddruckers gag. But what Fuddruckers went on from it had a couple evolutions during the 500 years. From Fuddruckers, it ended up being Buttfuckers.
Yes. I couldn't tell if a lot of this was like product placement, that companies were signing up for this, or if, in fact, they were just being abused by Mike Judge. So. Because you would think Fuddruckers not so much, and Carl's Jr. with the unhappy star, probably not so much either.
Well, I mean, Carl's Jr. went from, let's see, what was there?
No child should go hungry.
Yeah, but their logo ad campaign went from like, shut up, I'm eating, to fuck you, I'm eating. But they had one of the things they had floated was baseball, and they had baseball. Baseball went from the marquee calling itself Championship Baseball. The next one said Extreme Baseball, which is essentially just a bat fight. And then finally it just says Fire. So, yeah. So, you know, that's the premise, is that everything has gotten stupid. Everything is the lowest common denominator. And these totally average people in 2005 are now the smartest people in the world in 2505. Which, you know, I think one of the things I liked about Luke Wilson's performance is that he's an innocent. Again, he's a little bit like Buddy the Elf. He pulls off his innocence completely throughout the whole movie.
I wouldn't go as far as say he's an innocent, because he very clearly is trying to milk the system in the beginning of the movie. He's the lazy librarian that knows he's the lazy librarian. He just wants to eke out his tenure so that he can get his pension.
Well, but that's because he follows the rules, and he's given three choices after all.
Well, except he really doesn't follow the rules as much as he avoids the rules.
Well, it's the three choices given to him in the army are lead, follow, or get out of the way. And he just always, in his whole life, it is selected get out of the way, as if that were a real option instead of a shaming device.
If it's not a real option, they shouldn't list it.
Exactly. And then I thought Maya Rudolph being a prostitute, at first I thought, oh, this is kind of going to be bad. It's going to be like sexist and racist and whatever. But it turns out, you know, she's trying to spare Joe from the fact that she is a prostitute. And that's kind of funny.
I just like the premise that Upgrade loaned Rita for a year.
Well, I didn't realize until just now looking at my notes that there was another post-credit scene that I did not see.
You didn't see the very end?
Oh, man.
I did not.
Oh, that's the best part.
Well,
that was great.
Now I know. So, spoil it. What's the final scene?
Upgrade was frozen, too.
Yeah, just...
Yeah, so Rita was right. Upgrade was going to find her.
Well, and that actually sets itself up for Idiocracy 2, although that's never going to happen, for the same reason why this wasn't a gigantic movie, is this was actually, like, flushed by the... the distribution company, I think.
Yeah, it didn't make any money.
They didn't advertise it at all. The speculation was that...
Was it actually a theatrical release?
Yep. They released it in like 130 theaters.
Wow.
Which was super low compared to, at the time, a wide release was at least 600 or more. But they had no movie trailers, no ads, and only two stills from the movie. They didn't screen it for critics, and they didn't give out press kits.
I don't think it was that bad. There are way worse movies than this one.
No, but I think it had to do with Fox didn't clarify what happened to it. So they suspected that the distributor owed Fox, or maybe Fox owed Mike Judge a theatrical release movie. And this is the way they did it, by giving him a crappy theatrical release and then just went right to DVDs. Because it eventually made a decent amount of money on DVD sales. But it wasn't given the opportunity to make a ton of money.
I remember really looking forward to it as, you know, the next movie from the guy who did Office Space. So, yeah, I remember actually seeking it out in the video store. So, it had all the makings. I certainly was willing to give it a shot. But, yeah, just went on too long with the same joke over and over again.
Well, but I think that was the studio's influence when he was... crafting the movie, that they told him that it was too satirical and nobody was going to think it was funny. And I think they pushed him into more of the "ow, my balls" kind of movie, because they thought that would be what audiences would respond to, as opposed to, you know, some of the kind of, you know, the free medical care slot machines that they had in the hospital, for instance.
Oh, there's a lot of subtlety.
Yeah, which is brilliant and hilarious.
But if they didn't believe in the audience's ability to detect subtlety or, you know, satire, then they're just proving that Idiocracy is true.
Yeah, all the background jokes I thought were really clever and funny. It's just the stuff that they beat us over the head with again and again and again that got old.
And again, I think that was the studio wanting something stupefied so that it could get a wider audience.
Well, and okay.
Makes sense.
So Mike Judge, let's see, he's been mostly done TV, but did you see the movie Extract?
Yes.
I did not. Was it any good?
It was Jason Bateman, right?
Yeah.
It was okay.
That was about vanilla, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I vaguely remember that.
The little plot synopsis on IMDb says, Joel, played by Jason Bateman, the owner of an extract plant, tries to contend with a myriad personal and professional problems, such as his potentially unfaithful wife and employees who want to take advantage of him.
Yeah. Is I?
It didn't. Okay. So eventually we're going to talk about Office Space in the context of an entire episode. So
yes.
we'll get to the music selection in Office Space being really great. And I don't remember the music in Idiocracy being anything at all.
Not really.
Nope.
It wasn't. I mean, they could have done a satire part of that.
Can I have my stapler back?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, again, they had a decent budget because like you said, the world building is great. You know, the sets are pretty great. The costumes are fantastic. Everybody's all branded. They took it, just the quotes themselves are memorable. Like any good comedy.
Before you get to them, you mentioned costumes, and that was actually one of my favorite parts of the movie, is that in coming up with the costumes, they figured like the most dumbass shoe wear they could come up with were just unmodified Crocs. They didn't do anything to them. They're just Crocs.
Well, and that's funny because like one of the things, you know, a lot of the logos, you know, of course, Fuddruckers and Carl's Jr. and Starbucks were all changed, you know, for the thing. But Fox News, they use the exact logo, which is hilarious. I thought it was hilarious that he was criticized for his manner of speech. He was talking all faggy and shit.
Yeah, because nobody talks like that. But he could understand them, but they could not understand him.
Of course not. But I love the like the lingo that they use, like go away, baitin'. Yeah, you know, again, it's kind of what you'd expect. And at the end, skipping right to the end, we're going to have the shortest podcast ever with three people. You know, we reached the end, and he's sentenced to, what is it? What do they call it?
Rehabilitation.
Yes. And he's being rehabilitated the crap out of him, where he has to go against Beef Supreme, who, as it turns out, is another Wilson brother.
Was he really?
Oh, I at first thought it was Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, no, it's Andrew Wilson, who's the older brother of Luke and Owen. It's
terrible. He was good. He was really good.
It was so bizarre. But for some reason, I remember his little car having like a gigantic dildo on top of it, but it was just that little hood ornament thing. So, it was just the rest of the monster,
the floppy purple pecker.
Yeah. And it was just the rest of the monster trucks that,
it still looked pretty big.
Well, yeah. No, no.
It seems like it'd be pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah. You would max out your Castle Megastore punch card if you bought one. But
I was going to go with you would max out your bandwidth.
Yeah, something like that.
Quite literally.
Yeah, well.
But by the way, what year did this movie come out, Idiocracy? Can you remind me?
2006.
So the rehabilitation scene, Suzanne Collins obviously ripped off this scene when she wrote Hunger Games, right?
See, I don't know enough about Hunger Games, but I think I've heard that, actually, that someone suggested that she was a stealer.
Yeah, well, most people point to Battle Royale, the Japanese movie.
That's true, yes.
I'm pretty sure she watched Idiocracy.
Jason, have you seen Battle Royale?
I have not.
Battle Royale is pretty fun. It's a weird movie, but it's pretty fun.
Well, I'm not opposed to weird movies.
Oh, I've got it on Blu-ray. We can send it your way.
After all, we just, you know, we spoke about Wild at Heart, so.
Yeah, that still is a crazy fever dream.
I'm just looking for my bucket of chicken with the full release.
Let's see, what else? Other little things. I thought the fact that he was named Not Sure was kind of a joke that went too far. It was like too old, too silly.
Yeah.
I did like Costco, though.
The Costco was hilarious. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Yeah.
I thought the whole White House thing was pretty funny.
I thought his brilliant prison escape was funny.
Yeah, I agree.
But I also thought his genuine panic at the tattoo machine, his barcode tattoo machine, was pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I think he does a good job. Do we recommend Idiocracy as a movie or just an idea?
Well, I think it's a good movie to watch if you've never seen it. I think it's a good precursor to watching any of the other Mike Judge vehicles. It doesn't have the gravity certainly that Office Space does. So this isn't a good like third or fourth movie, but it's fun. I mean, it's funny enough once. If you haven't seen it, there are some funny jokes, and yeah, it's not real subtle a lot of the time, but some of the deeper satire is hilarious and nearly historical at this point. You know, Dr. Lexus. So, I don't know, for me. Now, I also got to watch all the deleted scenes, so I don't know if either of you saw the deleted scenes.
No,
none of them. Do tell.
Well, there's a couple scenes where you see his girlfriend pining over the fact that he's going to be gone for a year, and the creepy lounge lizard coworker that she works with kind of making the moves and saying, hey, if he doesn't love you enough to stick around, then, you know, I'm here. And so you see a couple scenes of her throughout the time of the first year of him being gone where, you know, she's just being worn down by him. But then there's this, what I thought was actually a pretty funny scene, which is where Maya Rudolph is looking for the time machine, and they keep telling her that it's past the Museum of Art. But it's not the Museum of Art, it's the Museum of Fart. And so she went into the museum to see what it was, and of course it was the standard, you know, museum with all the displays, except everything had a button, and the button, instead of giving any example of what it would narrate in any kind of normal museum, was just a melange of history mixed with farts, which was hilarious in the cut scene, but probably would have gone on way too long in the movie. So
my favorite part of your description just then is about how you closed your eyes so you could really picture the Museum of Fart.
I was taking myself back to the scene.
Oh, thank you for describing that, because some of us don't get the visual.
We're sorry you're on an inferior non-Apple device, Eric.
Yeah, see? It's a story of my life. Inadequate devices all the way around. They cut the whole girlfriend thing out just because for time. So that was a kind of a wise choice. And then
Also, I don't know that it would have been able to wedge in the movie very well, because there's really no easy place you could have put it. Because at both points, you would have had to put that in right in a row, right after they're frozen, but right before the great trash avalanche.
Yeah, and that just would have slowed everything down.
Yeah, and it didn't really fit. So, I mean, I understand why they cut it. It really didn't add anything to the movie, and its loss certainly didn't detract from the movie.
Okay, would you recommend, this is strictly for Brother Jay here, would you recommend the movie to our mother?
She would not like this movie.
Okay, because we had talked about it, and as soon as I described it, she's like, well, we can watch it. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I described it, and she's like, no, I'm good. Like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those movies where, like Jason said, people should see it. So it's one of those movies where you sort of give it the kind of recommendation where, like, oh, you haven't seen that? You should watch it. So you like it? No, but you should watch it. But it's a good movie. No.
Exactly.
You should watch it.
Well, okay. Yeah. And I mean, I guess I would recommend this to you if you are a big fan of the farce satires like the Naked Gun movies or the Airplane movies, because those aren't really in my wheelhouse either. I'm not a big fan of that kind of humor, and there's a lot of that in this.
The difference, though, is especially with Airplane and the Naked Gun movies to a lesser extent, is they are so rapid fire with jokes, different jokes, different kinds of jokes. And Idiocracy is just kind of, it's a one note movie. So it's kind of a very pale version of that type of farce.
It was a weak tea version, is what you're saying.
Yeah. This would have been a very, very clever, like short movie.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. I think we can all agree on that. So anything else on Idiocracy before we move on to one other thing and then Drew's housekeeping?
I can't believe you missed the end.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was there. It's like, I should have learned it, after.
That means you don't. It means you don't watch the credits, you bastard.
I don't watch the credits all the way through. The only movie recently I watched the credits all the way through was Wild at Heart, just because I couldn't believe that Nicolas Cage was going to sing that entire song.
I have that soundtrack. He sings quite a bit.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, not a bad soundtrack, I'm sure.
Ah, oh, Twin Peaks, by the way. I can't wait. 2017.
Well, we'll see.
No, they've already started filming.
Okay, we'll see.
So excited.
Speaking of Luke Wilson and returning shows, Luke Wilson was in one of my favorite X-Files episodes.
Which one was
that? And X-Files are coming back soon.
Yeah, so which one was that?
It was one where Mulder and Scully went to a town that may or may not have been populated by vampires, and they each kind of gave their own account of what happened, so they had very different perspectives. So it was sort of a, I'm blanking on the very classic Japanese movie that had the same story told.
Rashomon?
Yes. Yeah. It was a Rashomon style show. And they used Luke Wilson to some very comedic effect. Cause in Scully's version, he's this really handsome local sheriff. And then in Mulder's version, he's like this like clumsy buck-toothed idiot.
This is in the first couple seasons of X-Files, right? Back when X-Files was reliably good. Or I don't know. Yes. Was it? I mean, I don't know. I have a fondness for old X-Files.
I do too. I don't think I've even seen the last couple seasons.
No, I know I haven't. Like the one with Annabeth Gish and that kind of stuff.
And what's his face?
Robert Patrick.
Yeah. They weren't great. They weren't horrible, but they were a different show. I mean, they were really almost in a different show. Plus, you know, towards the end, they were trying to spin off into The Lone Gunman and Millennium.
I really liked Millennium. That show was dark.
I really liked the first season of Millennium.
Oh, that's all I remember.
Yeah, the second season was pretty terrible.
Was the second season post year 2000?
The second season was spoilers. I think everybody died. Pretty much everybody died that he was dealing with, and he had enough cure for him and one other person, and he could pick his wife or his daughter.
Oh, Sophie's Choice.
So
was his daughter hot?
It kind of devolved. I shouldn't probably. There.
Sorry.
Wow.
Very young, as I remember.
God. Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about Idiocracy.
God, you guys are the worst. The worst. Are you familiar with that Camille Nanjiani does a podcast called The X-Files Files?
I'm sorry. What was that name?
His name is Camille Nanjiani. He's a
Is he affiliated with M. Night Shyamalan?
No, I believe that M. Night Shyamalan is an Indian fellow, and Camille Nanjiani's family is from Pakistan. But thank you for your casual racism.
Well, the best kind of racism is casual.
Well, of course, yeah. You would uncasual racism is just rude.
So the X-Files Files has been credited as being one of the reasons they're bringing back the show.
I'd love it. I mean, that's the thing is that there's another podcast called Go Bayside where April Richardson, a comedian, watched every single episode of the Saved by the Bell, like the traditional canonical episodes like past Good Morning Miss Bliss and before the college years. And had a comedian with her that watched the show and then they talked about it. Well, Camille Nanjiani does the same thing with the X-Files where they watch an episode or two and then discuss the episode. And it's, Camille went through, he actually went through like the Usenet, archives, of like contemporary news group, like discussions about the X-Files. Cause this was the very beginning of the internet being widely available. And the writers of the X-Files were actually reading and contributing to the newsgroup stuff. So it's fascinating on how stuff got kind of worked in. Like they listened to their audience directly.
That one wasn't me.
I don't know.
No, it was my dog catapulting off the couch.
I don't know if it made it into the podcast, but Eric yelled at me a couple episodes ago for knocking my microphone.
Knocking it?
No, I didn't yell at you.
Like banging into
but
it.
But I did comment that you were like...
that kind of thing. Are you imitating Pauly Shore right now?
No, no. that was disgusting. What you're doing, but that was gross.
Ah, you're just lucky you didn't have to see it.
Let's see. Oh, okay. So if we're done with the Idiocracy, I've got a... I think I've shared this with Drew and not with you, Jason, but we'll see. I was thinking of signature segments. Does this sound familiar?
To me.
It's news to me.
This is Drew.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So signature segments, like something that is kind of up one of your alleys or another, or one of our alleys specifically. So we could have, like, I thought about a little more structure in the podcast. Although we've kind of developed a structure, a little bit of housekeeping, the movie, and then tangents during the movie, and then a little bit like a big long set of tangents at the end. But, well, I think it would be great if we could add mom talk. Like, this would be a good time for me to put in the Our Mother Calls the Podcast recordings.
I don't know how many times I can guilt her into doing that, though.
No, I think she'll like hearing it. If nothing else, she'll like to hear me do mine and then her do hers.
Oh, God, please don't do yours.
Oh, no, I'm going to put mine
what,
in here.
What episode is this going to appear in?
In this one right now. Yeah.
Wow, I can't wait.
Hello, this is Mother Anderson. I just wanted to let you boys know that I watched your show, and I'm very proud of my sons, but I do have a little correction for you on the last podcast I listened to. Howard, stop spitting those spit wipes from the straw. It's alarming. And put some clothes on for a change. So I just wanted to let you know that your mother, me, Mother Anderson, loves Christmas music. Not necessarily the pop stuff, but Christmas carols done well. Oh, I just love it so. Howard, knock it off. Now, it was your grandmother, Mermy, who didn't like Christmas music for reasons we don't need to get into in this kind of, what do we call this? Some sort of feedback hotline, although I never hear you guys mention it at all. So I just want to tell you I love you, and correction, I do like Christmas music. Hey, everybody, we'll be on in a second. So this is Mother Anderson signing off. Thank you.
By next Sunday, right about this time in the podcast, you'll hear your mother give direct criticism and commentary.
Hi, guys. It's Mom. I just listened to the Christmas Story podcast, and it was one of your best. Pretty fabulous. And mint ice cream, never have it in the house anymore. We had mint ice cream cakes for 15 years running. So there's a reason why Dad and I don't like chocolate chip mint ice cream. But congratulations on a great podcast. Talk to you soon.
So that would be a good segment. Mom Talk with Mother Anderson, which, by the way, she hates that designation. Or actually, if we could call it Moving On Up with Mother Anderson, even better. But so if you can think of any kind of signature episode you want to do, like,
why that title, please?
Because it's Mother Jefferson that I'm making fun of when I call her Mother Anderson.
Yeah, I don't think that's a road you want to go down.
Okay,
that went right over my head.
All right, well,
yeah, I love our mother, and I don't wish to be out of the will.
Oh, I love. Oh, well, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, so
I'm pretty sure I'm already out of the will, so it's all good.
There's no will. It's a long story. Anyway, so actually, the person you need to be nice to, I think, is Brother Jay at this point. So if you have a signature segment, like if, say, Brother Jay wants to have his Judgment Corner with Brother Jay, or his ZZ Top Minute with Brother Jay.
I was in a Judgment Corner. That's every day.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So maybe that's, you know. But if you like have something to cast your judgment upon, or if you have a rant or something, that would be the time to do it. So think about if you want to just like a minute or two or several minute segment of your own.
So I'm supposed to, it's like the Gilbert Gottfried corner.
If you'd like, I mean, you could be whatever you want, or it could be nothing. But I thought, you know, this would be an opportunity for for each of us if we wanted to, instead of trying to wedge it, if you have an idea you want to share on the podcast, you could have it in your own little segment.
So some kind of individuality moment.
Yeah, exactly. Since we'll all be shoved together. And then you could come up with your own theme song and stuff if we want.
That's a lot of pressure, man.
No, no pressure.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that I would challenge you and Jason, who have probably listened to the Drew episodes much differently than I do. I'd challenge you guys to see if any ideas came to you about idiosyncrasies I had or things that I did fairly frequently in the podcast episodes that that you look forward to. If there's anything specific, you know, like you mentioned, Brother Jay's judgment. I mean, that harkens back all the way to the very beginning of the podcast. So well, that was a good idea.
Well, okay. I can think of something, but I tell you what, let's make it an assignment. Next week, we'll pick a signature segment for each of the other brothers. So we should have two choices between us, not chosen by each by us. So that'll be fun.
I'm down for that.
You down for it?
Man, you know how to stack on the pressure.
No, there's no pressure. Like I said, don't even think about yours. Just think about me and Drew. And you could be as silly or as profound as you'd like to be.
I'm totally judging you now.
You can only guess what I'm going to be. Because profundity is not my middle name. Actually, okay, so on that thought, actually, give me like 2 minutes. So talk amongst yourselves or take a break or whatever you want to do. But I need to take a quick break.
Starting my stopwatch right now.
Well, okay, maybe 2:30. We'll find out. Oh, dentistry. There we go. 2:30. Yeah, okay. I can imagine. It's
all right. I'm going to take a brief break as well.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to sit here and play on my phone. Do 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 do. Talking to myself because I ain't got no audience. And no fame, but I do got a shiny iPhone filled with stuff. Do, 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 do.
I'm back.
Oh, welcome back.
So one of the things I was thinking about for, like maybe idiosyncrasy that I have is, I think I tend to talk about the nostalgia I have for either a movie or what was going on in my life when I saw the movie.
But that's awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know like how consistent that could be, because certainly some of these movies that are coming up I've never seen before. So
well, but when you have that input, it's awesome because it gives. I know certainly me perspective as to where you were when that movie was, because then I get to draw to my experience and where I was when that movie experienced me, as it were. And yeah, I know there's a, for me, the what's going to be the obstacle is when we get into like the horror, gore, darker stuff, because I can't handle most of that, so.
Yeah, I was. That's actually one of the little bits of post episode housekeeping I wanted to talk about is how we're thinking about going forward with the podcast, and how if Eric still wants to do like his holiday weeks with many many episodes, because that might get pretty tricky if we're only doing one a week.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know if like when we get to it, if we're doing like a bunch of Halloween episodes, I don't know if we want to go back to doing two a week for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
I guess that's really mostly up to Eric.
And also there will be instances where it's fine if, I may opt out a week or two if there's a set of films, because there's just some films I just can't do.
Although I think it'd be really interesting to get the perspective of someone who may not be a great horror fan on some horror movies.
It would depend greatly on the movie. I'll put it that way. I could certainly attempt it, but now I'm going back and watching all the Hitchcock, and that's really interesting because it's old, but some of it's classic. It's some of it's dated, but it's still pretty awesome. So
I found that I really react to horror movies differently now. Some of it is because, due to my current life situation, the only time I watch movies are like late at night.
in the dark.
Yes. Part of it also is my sensibilities have changed. I have no stomach for, like children in peril plots anymore. Yeah. It's just, it hits me in a totally different way. And, I don't know if it's children or just getting older, but I tend to be more emotional now than I was when I was younger. So it's, and you know, life is short. So, for that type of stuff, I'm much more likely to just pass than I would have been earlier.
Yeah. You don't got to tell me. So I'm, like, if you have a movie and they kill the dog, I'm out. I'm like, I'm done. that Marky Mark movie with, God, I can't remember it now. It's a terrible Marky Mark movie. I want to say it was Reese Witherspoon, but it wouldn't have been. It was like some blonde.
You're not thinking of the Owen Wilson, Jennifer Aniston movie, are you?
No. It was
Marley and Me.
No, I haven't seen that. No,
don't.
It was some Marky Mark movie where he ended up being this psychotic guy who basically like part of the plot element was that the dad built this super house that couldn't be penetrated. It was a fortress because, you know, he was an architect, and then Marky Marks and his hoodlums attacked the house and like killed the dog and shoved it through the dog door and things like that.
Are you talking about Fear?
Yes.
Wait, the only reason you remember Fear is didn't he finger Reese Wilson? Or Reese Witherspoon, rather.
I believe there's also a brief nude scene with Alyssa Milano.
Okay, well.
I just remember.
We remember different things, Jason.
Yes. I was going to say, I'm like, I don't remember this, but okay.
Yeah. Speaking of dog movies, we had to put down one of our cats like right before we saw I Am Legend.
Oh dear.
And that is such a stupid movie to like emotionally wreck you, but that one did.
Well, and the problem I have with the problem, have you read the Matheson book I Am Legend?
No.
Okay.
No.
I highly recommend that you read the book. It will ruin the movie for you forever because the book is 1,000 times better than the movie because they tore out giant parts of the book that make the movie make no sense. So the story doesn't work in any way as a movie. It was crazy that they did what they did. If you read the book, you will get so much more out of it and you will understand not only the movie better, but you will understand the goddamn title of the movie.
I can recommend two things. I can actually, at some point, deliver you the graphic novel of the book that's very true to the book and also explains the goddamn title. But also, there's the Vincent Price movie, Last Man on Earth, which is a pretty faithful rendition of the book.
It's a pretty good version. And then there's that terrible Charlton Heston, The Omega Man.
Which I haven't seen.
I have seen that. That is awful.
I saw that. I watched it at the parents' cabin like 3 years ago at like 3 a.m. because I couldn't sleep.
Oh, what a great cabin movie, though.
It was. Oh, God.
I mean, not like Dead Snow, but pretty good cabin movie.
So you agree with me that the movie completely misses the point of the title of the book?
Yeah. There's no reason it should be called the same title.
Exactly. Yeah. So I recommend, Drew, I recommend the book. I can't recommend the book enough. I tell everybody that.
In fact,
read the book.
If they had just used the title Last Man on Earth, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
But that's not what they did in the movie, so it's crazy.
If you get the audiobook, by the way, the audiobook on Audible is fun and creepy because the narrator has a lot of good voices where he's like, "Never." Which would just scare the shit out of you. Especially if you're listening late at night like I was.
Yeah, it's a creepy little tale.
Yeah, it's a great book. It really is.
I'll have to put it on my list.
Yeah. Anywho, so Drew, you said you had housekeeping?
Yeah, I have one podcast-related topic and then two non-podcast-related topics. One is I wanted to talk about Terminator.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the series, but I wanted to ask if you guys are interested in throwing the Sarah Connor Chronicles in at the end, like we did with Hannibal season 1.
I haven't seen them. Are they worth watching?
I really think they are. If we want to do it chronologically, like the Sarah Connor Chronicles sort of ignore T3 and treat the first two movies as only like canonical tales. But I would also not be opposed to doing every single Terminator movie.
T1, T2, T3, and Salvation, and then Genesis? Or are you just talking about the first three?
No, I'm talking about all of them.
Oh, God. Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen the most recent one, but I will someday.
Okay. I haven't seen Salvation.
Yeah, I'm game for anything. Just to make it happen.
So the Sarah Connor Chronicles, if we want to do that, they're also streaming on this weird, it's like this CW streaming site, which doesn't stream any CW shows. Has like it's really weird. Has like its own library, so you can actually stream the Sarah Connor Chronicles right now. But I mean, it's the first season got shortened due to the writer strike, and then it was canceled after the second season. So I think there's only like 31 total episodes, I think, over two seasons.
So it was adapted from Terminator 2.
It was, yeah. And they do some really interesting things. Are you a Game of Thrones watcher, Jason?
I pulled the ripcord about the middle of season 3.
Okay, well, Cersei plays Sarah Connor.
Oh.
And she's actually really good. And this show, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, totally redeemed Brian Austin Green.
Oh, that's
sweet.
Oh, and it has the girl from Firefly.
The cute one or the prostitute one?
Which one was the cute one?
The non-prostitute one.
Well, there's the mechanic, the prostitute, and then the creepy girl.
Oh, the fighter girl. Oh, there was another one. Yeah, okay, you're right. There's a whole bunch of different. Turns out there's a lot of girls on Firefly. No, I meant the mechanic one.
Yes. No, not the mechanic.
Oh, that's too bad. You mean like Rain or whatever her name is?
Summer Glau.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys update the schedule.
So, okay. So, what else was on the agenda?
Oh, thank you for your soldering iron. I soldered for the first time in my life, and it was successful.
Sweet. Wasn't it fun?
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't burn anything down, so it was a positive experience. Yeah.
I'm a big fan. That's a third of the reason I like stained glass is the soldering.
Yeah. So, I can either give it back to you the next time we get together, or I can send it with Dad if you need it sooner.
No, you can. It was still in the packaging from years ago. You can actually keep it until I need it. Or I will forget you have it, okay. And I will get another one because, yeah, I mean, I have one already for stained glass. It's a different tip you need for stained glass.
All right. I'll store it for you until I lose it.
There you go. Perfect. That sounds like a plan. Or actually you can, if you want, let's give it to Dad and let him be responsible for storing it. Or he could also use it, of course.
I think he probably has one that's probably like 8,000 times better.
He has a different kind.
We talked about this. Yeah. It's 8,000 years older.
And runs on butane instead of electricity.
And probably unicorn tears.
Probably.
Yeah, so the last thing I had, and I'm excited to have you both here for this, because I want to find out if this is genetic or not. Do either of you have a resistance to Novocaine?
Yes.
Not that I know of.
I never knew.
Yeah. I need about triple the dose of Novocaine to be effective. I take it you've had a recent dental experience that didn't go so well.
Actually, just the opposite. I had a recent dental experience that went extremely well because I learned that you can actually have dental procedures done when you are truly numb.
Oh, yeah. So I've learned that you have... I had a dentist tell me about 6 years ago when I started my $25,000 mouth rework that I needed to tell him and any subsequent dentist that I ever encountered that I need 2 to 3 times the normal amount of Novocaine to receive pain relief, and that I also need about twice as long for it to take effect.
This is what I experienced because... Yeah. This is the first time I had a dentist who actually asked me very specific questions. Usually I get like, so are you numb?
Yeah.
I never knew. So I was like, yeah, my cheek feels a little numb. And I always thought getting fillings was extremely painful.
Yeah.
But not this time. I had a filling and he actually was like, oh, you're Because he asked me, like, can you feel your tongue? I was like, oh, yeah. Can you feel your lip? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're not numb. I was like, oh, it feels kind of weird. So, yeah, he gave me, I think, 2 more shots. Let me sit there for, like, for another hour. And then once I was numb enough that he thought I could take it, he gave me, like, a nerve blocker.
Yep.
Which felt like a really deep needle.
Yep.
And, and then it was the first time in my entire life I've ever experienced, like, somebody working on my mouth where I didn't feel anything.
Yeah, I believe that's
great.
I think that's why probably our father has had such a horrible time with dentists, is because he probably has the same affliction and doesn't know it.
He claims he doesn't, but...
Yeah, well, I think past precedent of his visiting of dentists contradicts that statement, but I'm not certainly one to question that. But I will caveat you. There's 2 things that come with that unfortunate condition. The first one is that it also takes about 3 times as long to wear off. So,
oh, yeah, I found that out.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So are you still numb now? I'm sorry. Are you still numb now?
No, but I went. I mean, my appointment was at 2 and I went to sleep numb.
Yeah, no, because of how Novocaine works metabolically, that level of sedation of your nerve gets prolonged to a degree where it's basically like triple the duration. So the other thing too with the nerve,
just for the record, I was really terrified I was going to bite off my tongue because I've never actually felt that numb before.
It's pretty amazing. Sometimes it's a very disorienting kind of feeling. The other thing is you have to be careful with the nerve blocks because I had the misfortune of him actually hitting my nerve with the needle and injecting the Novocaine, which is what I equated to is if you've ever touched a spark plug, except that was inside my brain times 1,000. I actually passed out because of just the lightning in my head. And then, of course, when you pass out of the dentist, they tend to freak out. So they, of course, like call an ambulance and, you know, make sure you're not having a heart attack. And then you have to sit around for an hour while they monitor you. So just be prepared that, you know, there are things that come with that territory that are not always as fun. But having dentistry work where you're numb is absolutely the best thing ever.
I agree. I would like to have that every time going forward.
Of course, I'm a big advocate for laughing gas, so, you know.
Well, can we all agree that dentistry is barbarism?
Well, so I don't know if I've mentioned this story, but when I had my wisdom teeth taken out, which was only about, 7 years ago, they were already all exposed. They're already all out. And the dentist was like, no, they need to come out. It's time. They're crowding the rest of your teeth and it's not doing you any good. So we're going to take them out. So they sent me to the dental surgeon and the dental surgeon, you know, numbs my mouth up and then using a pair of pliers pulls my teeth out. And I said, wait, modern medicine can use stents to go in and remove plaques in the heart. But you're telling me the most modern dental medicine devices is a goddamn pair of pliers?
Yes.
Oh, well, that makes me feel good.
It sounds very effective.
Oh, well, hold on. Here's what happens when you have twisted roots. They take a Dremel tool and cut off the top of your tooth, and then they take pliers and rip each root out.
Well, since we're talking about dental horror stories, when I had to have root canal, turns out that some people have 3 roots and some people have 4 roots in their teeth. It just kind of varies based on the person and the tooth. And when they took the x-ray of my tooth for the root canal, the way they took the x-ray, they only saw 3 of the roots because one of the roots was actually behind the other root in the picture. So they only numbed 3 of them when they started doing my root canal.
Okay, hold on. 2 stories. One, I don't know if you remember telling the story, but when I got my wisdom teeth out, I was like 18 or 19, And
I remember because you got dry socket.
Well, I did get dry socket. I also had instead, I didn't know because, you know, getting your teeth removed is very expensive. And I didn't know that my insurance would cover it as surgery instead of as dentistry. So I, instead of getting all four of them out at once, I got two at a time, twice. And the first time I went there, it was this elderly dentist guy who was in the old McKay Hardware building on Fireweed. And it had those slanty windows, like on top of the, like the regular windows. I don't know if they're like transom windows of like above a door or whatever, but, right. You know, and I just remember that he had those windows open because it was the summertime and it was a little warm inside the building, and a big ass bumblebee flew in, to the office as he's numbing me up to get ready to rip out the teeth out of my head. And he sees this bumblebee. He's like, "Oh, what's that?" And I wasn't particularly worried about it. Except that I noticed it. And he goes, "Hey, how'd you get in there?" And so he takes this can of like super cold stuff that he would normally spray on like your cheek. If it was swelling really badly, it's like instantly numbs the cheek. And he was spraying the shit all over, trying to hit it in the sky. So little drops of like some sort of chemical freezing agent were dripping all over the place. And I just thought it was the most
hilarious. By the way, that's air duster in the can when you turn it upside down.
Ah, well, yeah, it was great. Whatever it was getting everywhere. And he never did. He just basically chased it out. He never killed it. And also, my current dentist, who I love, I recommend her, she uses me as an example to people whenever she says, "Oh, you've just got a little cavity we need to fill," because I had it was a pearl inside my tooth. One of those things where when all of a sudden, when your dentist calls around to her oral surgeon husband and everybody else in the office to say, "Hey guys, come look at this." It's not a good thing. That's yeah. when I learned that you can actually just, you know, I guess if a dentist needs a boat payment, they can just turn a cavity into a root canal without much trouble at all. Just go zzz, all the way to your root canal and then boom, it's exposed. We got to take it out. Oh, well, it's a crown for you several thousand dollars later.
That's what it was when they decided my tonsils needed to come out. They were like, "Ooh, would you mind terribly if I took a picture of your tonsils? Because I really think my colleagues need to see this." And I was like, "Be my guest." And they're like, "That'd be awesome. Like, well, your tonsils are going to be passed around like on the internet." I'm like, "Great. Okay. Well, go for it."
Wouldn't be the first thing.
At least this time it won't be Snapchat. So the other thing is, have you guys seen how the Novocaine needle works?
No.
Like they hide it from you. First of all, the Novocaine needle is big fucking long needle. And
yes, it is.
And they hide it from you on purpose. Also, you know, unlike when they give you an injection, no matter where in your body, usually they stick the needle in your skin or in your vein or wherever it needs to go. And then they pump you full of the drug and that's it. Pull it out. Ooh, all done. Hold this the cotton swab on there and then they wrap some tape around and you'll be fine. No, with the Novocaine needle, they stab you 1,600 times. Like they stab, 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 stab. So the reason why you're so sore after the procedure where you get numbed is because you are literally being tenderized.
Okay, you're not going to a dentist. You're going to a seamstress.
That's what it feels like. It's like, oh my God. Trust me, it's not just one little injection. It's like poke, 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 poke.
Well, my dentist usually does it one and done, so.
Well, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's not a one and done thing.
Well, again, I think maybe your dentist doesn't like you.
It's possible. She does use me as an example.
I don't care about any of this. I am now facing a lifetime going forward of actually numb dentistry.
You will never brush your teeth again.
I'm pretty jazzed about.
What a wonderful self-discovery.
Well, it's good. You know, it's the age of self-discovery.
You know, for kids.
I guess. So, anything else?
No, I'm good. We're doing Memento next week.
Memento it is. It's John G. I mean John G. I'm a John G. Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on our new voicemail account, to leave voice messages, or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts. Dial it already.